Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life, our live radio broadcast coming to you every Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, Global Ministry. However, we are based in Clearwater and a lot of ministry partners scattered in different parts of the United States. And some of you I know are listening live, and some of you always listen later on our website, which is fine. So we welcome you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, is right here beside me. And Carol is going to join us, Carol Witcher from Georgia, in just a little while. And we're going to have an amazing, wonderful show today. We're finishing up a series I've been teaching for the last few weeks called 4 G's for Kingdom Living. And PJ, Pastor Jim over here, is laughing because he thinks I can't finish
it
today.
Not exactly a few weeks. No.
It's been like since January.
Yeah. Well.
First.
Yeah, since right after Christmas.
I think it was, wasn't it? Right after we got through the Christmas stuff, yeah. But you know what? That's exciting that there's so much to talk about in three chapters of the Bible. This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Can you imagine? We have had five shows or six shows on this now. We've had a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night. There is so much practical Christian living in this, Pastor Jim. Love it, love it, love it. Cedric, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Well, great. We're excited to be on the air again today. And how's your baby? Everybody, y'all need to know, Cedric and his wonderful Heidi are brand new parents. Well, it's been a few weeks now, maybe 4 months.
Four and a half.
Yeah. Right after my little great-granddaughters were born. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last year was the year for births.
I know. I've noticed that.
Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
Well, I just found out I'm going to be a grandma again. This one's not great-grandma. This is grandma.
Wow.
Yeah, my daughter is expecting. So
that's great.
Yeah, so this is more births this year. So, but baby is doing great, isn't she?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. It's great to be a daddy, isn't it?
It is. It is. And last night she slept for 6 hours.
Oh,
6 hours
wow.
Straight. So, yeah, that was.
You're making progress, mm-hmm. Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Did you wake up in the middle of the night and have to go check on her to make sure she was okay? Because that's what I did
right.
The first night my daughter slept through the night. I was up.
Right.
Ran in to check on her because she was sleeping.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Kind of weird, isn't it?
But it is. It is.
Yeah. We appreciate you. You're a wonderful engineer.
It's good to be here.
And you do a good job on everything and get our, you record the program digitally, correct?
Yep. Correct.
And then you get it to us by email, which is just crazy that we've come that far in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started my first radio show in Indiana back in 86 or so.
You were still using tapes.
We were using reel-to-reel recorders, and I did my own engineering. And it was in the, with great big reel-to-reels and had one here and one here and the great big things that were like the size of a dinner plate. And, it was crazy that where we've come in just these few short years, don't you think?
It is. It's almost scary.
It is. I mean, so we're just so thankful, though, that you're able to record digitally these shows. You send it to me by email. I'm able to send it to our webmaster.
Yep.
You also do. And we get it on our website, and it stays until Jesus comes. And that's pretty
Amen.
Exciting, isn't it? We have like 290 shows on there. So go to our website. Which now it's still the old address, still works, beaconofhopeministries.com, but we have all of our publicity, all our advertising has changed now to bohmglobal.com. And PJ, just tell them why we're doing that,
Well, two main reasons. First of all, to accentuate the fact that this is a global ministry.
Right.
We have, especially I think of our prayer request ministry.
Oh, yes.
We get prayer requests from Australia, out of the country, India. We had one from India.
Exactly.
But also, it's a little easier to remember.
It is.
BOHMglobal.com is a little easier than beaconofhopeministries.com because people...
It's a long word.
It was a long string of words. So
right.
It's a little bit easier also, but it does accentuate, we're based in Tampa Bay, but we do have a global outreach.
Absolutely. Which it's all about getting the gospel out to as many yes. people as we can and talking about how wonderful the Lord is and the fact that he wants a personal relationship mm-hmm. with each of us. He's growing that relationship in us. I mean, I know in all my years of growing up in the ministry and all of this, my dad, a pastor, missionary, I've always had a heart after God. You have too for so many years. But it's like in the last year or so, PJ, it's like my desire for God is deepening. My desire to spend quality time with him. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Because it's the same
thing. God's doing it. Yeah.
God's bringing me and probably a lot more people than just me, just to a series of decision points.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Right.
What decision are you going to make? I'm not done. I know for me, I'm not done with that process. Probably won't be till Jesus comes.
Right.
But those decisions are helping me to prepare for when Jesus does come.
Amen.
You know? And I think that's happening with a lot of our people. I think it's happening with a lot of people, Christians in general, across the globe.
Right.
That, you know, we kind of sense something in our spirits that God's going to do a new thing. I mean, there's even signs in the heavens
yes,
coming up.
Yes.
You know, there's all this stuff happening, and there's almost a quickening in our mm-hmm. in my spirit mm-hmm. about, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time.
Right.
There's that extra verse that was added to the Hosanna version. Those of you familiar with Hosanna Integrity Music.
Right.
To the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I can almost hear the trumpet sound. The Lord's return is near.
Woo!
You know,
I can almost still, hear the trumpet yeah, sound.
The Lord's return is near,
Amen,
but there's
yeah.
still so many people lost. Somehow they've got to hear,
yeah.
Lord, just give me one more minute, one more hour, just one more year.
Woo!
For his truth to go marching on.
Amen. All right. You know, and that was a solo by PJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised I could remember all the words as well as
but
I did.
But that's really the theme of this
true.
Show today.
Yes.
What is your hope built on? What is your life built on as we finish up the four G's? It's going to be a great show. I'm excited. Couldn't wait to get here, even though my phone was ringing off the wall and it was a little crazy with some real estate stuff going on right before we came on the air. But we are excited to be able to share the Word of God with you today. We're going to start with a Casting Crowns song. We love this group. They're actually going to be at the Sundome in March. I don't know if there's any tickets left, however.
I don't know.
They mentioned it. I was at the Gaither concert last night with my family and the Gaither Vocal Band, and Joy FM introduced the concert last night and said that that Casting Crowns were going to be there in March. I know some of my family members already have tickets, but I don't know if there are any left or not. Love this group. Here we go. The Well.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. change, my child, when you come to the well. Is all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
What a great song for our topic today. Couldn't be any better. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Your pursuit of perfection and all the effects of rejection. I just heard that right there. We're going to talk about that today. The things we do to try to get to fill those voids in our lives, you know. As we wrap up this series, our dear engineer Cedric just found out from the internet that the concert for Casting Crowns is March 28th at 7 o'clock in the Sun Dome. Few tickets left. There are some. They range in price from $30 to $80. And Ticketmaster.com, anybody out there interested in that concert? That would be amazing. I've heard Hillsong in concert. Never heard Casting Crowns in concert. Have you?
No, PJ? I haven't.
You're going to Third Day, though.
I'm
going to
go hear Third Day.
My son sounds like Third Day, Ryan, my son, mm-hmm. when he sings. Yeah,
he sounds like Mac Powell.
Yeah, he really does. He's got that gravelly kind of throat. That, but anyway, so what a great, great topic today we're going to pursue as we wrap up 4 G's for Kingdom Living. Those 4 G's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are be generous. These are the words of Jesus. Be giving. Be gracious, generous, and giving are kind of the same. Be gracious with other people. And be genuine and be godly. That's what it's all about. And I just love how Jesus wove those four themes in. And I had never seen this at all until back around Christmas. I was just reading my word one day, PJ. And I was just in Matthew reading after we taught on the Christmas story. Mm-hmm. And I just kept going. And I got to chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it was just like turning my world upside down. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so good. And I realized this was our new series. You know, it just how the Lord just kind of drops it in your heart. And it's been thrilling to just teach these three chapters. Talk to me about it.
Well, it has been. I mean, and what you said before, it's hard, kind of hard to believe that there's so much in just these three chapters, but it is, and it kind of puts me in mind a little bit of 1 John,
yes.
Just kind of the pattern, because Jesus kind of switches around, just like John does in his first epistle, But it fits, all fits together. There is kind of, there is a pattern
it's
to
a pattern.
It. And there's certain things like the four G's that kind of rise to the surface.
Right.
And you can go through these three chapters and pick all that information
right.
out. And it is, it's one of the most practical sections in the Bible.
I it
mean,
is.
Jesus
practical
sets the
Christian
standards.
Living.
He sets the standards and tells you, okay, this is how you are to behave.
Exactly.
This is how you're to walk in the world.
Right.
This is how you're to present yourself. And then he gives you practical ideas on how to do this. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he spends a lot of scripture talking about don't worry.
Chapter 6.
Yeah, do not worry. There it is right there.
Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're
right.
going to, yeah.
Don't judge.
Right.
Watching out for false prophets, and then what we're going to talk about, you know, today.
Yes.
You know, it's he sets the standard, and then he tells you how to get there.
Exactly.
He gives you the advice, the way to live to get to those standards. Because let's face it, living up to even the Beatitudes is not an easy task.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm real blessed because here I am mourning. You know.
Well, and I mean, let's just go to Matthew 5:3 for a minute as we start this whole topic. I love these words from Jesus, and I ministered this to one of my family members, and it really helped them. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. And it's almost like Matthew 5:3 sets the tone for Matthew 5, 6, and 7, mm-hmm. all three chapters. Because he's saying, when you're at the end of the rope and you can't fix your life, I don't know about y'all out there, but I have been there so many times, different times in my life where I felt like I was in a jam I didn't know how to get out of, or a mess, or I had just really handled something wrong, or whatever. We are blessed when we're at the end of our rope because when with less of us, there's more of God.
Exactly.
You know, that's the goal. Let's have more of God in our lives. I love that song we just played about the well, because he wants us to be that thirsty that we need more of him. Talk mm-hmm. to me about that, PJ.
Well, it's so very true. You know, it seems like every devotional I use about every month, Psalm 42 comes up. As the deer pants
oh, yes.
after the water streams.
Right.
So my soul pants after you. That's what God wants of us. Like a thirsty deer. You know, deer's one of the devotionals I read was, you know, he didn't say as the camel pants
right.
after the water, because camels don't pant. They store it up. A deer does not have that ability. They have to continually drink fresh water.
Right.
So my soul longs after you.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, my heart, my soul thirst for the living God.
Yes.
And that's what, I think that's what, you know, that's what I know. That's what the song, The Well, is talking about. That's what
right.
kind of this whole thing is. Jesus is saying, and he says here, hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Oh, amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Believing God, you know,
yes.
he makes the point that don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. God, Father already knows this.
Absolutely.
He knows what we need before we ask him.
You know, what this is a revolutionary mindset where we change from the doldrums. I like that word. Not sure how to spell it, but I like that word. Where we come out of just the old mediocre of life, where we're just kind of going along and going along, till suddenly we realize, wait a minute, there's more to this life than I am realizing. And that's the theme of this show today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what our lives are based on. Are they based on getting a new car, shopping till I drop, which is not me, by the way. That really isn't a problem for me. I don't enjoy shopping at all. I even have an official shopper, PJ, my sister.
There you go.
My sister will shop for me, and I love it because I hate to shop. But, you know, there are some people who just absolutely love shopping, and that is a high for them, you know? I guess for me, I'd much rather be out in my kayak and just really talking to the Lord and drifting
right.
along and whatever, and that's so wonderful to me. But what makes you tick, you know? What floats your boat, so to speak, you know? Where are your priorities? And I think that as we look at 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is saying, change your mindset. Become generous. You know, become gracious. You know, become godly. You know, become all of that, you know?
In the truest sense of the word, Jesus sets out a radical lifestyle.
Yes, he does.
I mean, the word itself comes from a Latin word meaning root.
Right.
And you know, John the Baptist said that the axe is laid at the root of the trees.
Right.
Jesus gets to the root of the problem.
Amen. Good
and
point.
Here he says, okay, I've got a radical. I'm going to uproot everything you thought. Because in that whole section, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, about divorce and all that. He turned that upside down.
Well, he says you...
And he expects us to do the same thing.
He says, love your enemies. You've said, let's see, that is in about chapter 5. Yeah, 5 about verse 38. 538, and he says, everybody agrees we got to love our friends and those we care about and hate our enemies. And he says, that's wrong. I'm going to change that right now. Go ahead with that.
Well, yeah, he says, you know, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor. Now, that part is in Scripture.
Love your neighbor.
That's in the law.
Right. We all agree with that. It's easy to love
our
neighbor.
And hate your enemies. There's nowhere. You'll never find that.
Right.
That's a misinterpretation.
Right.
Of, yeah, some scriptures about remaining, you know, God wanted the Israelites to remain separate and all that. But it never says to hate your enemies. But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Amen.
You know, it's like, okay. I gotta love my enemies, and you know that's pretty radical.
Well, he's basically saying pray for them. You know,
not only love them, but put that love into action by praying for them.
Amen. Because there are going to be people in our lives that come against us, or you know, bad things happen, etc. But the concept that Jesus is saying here is reach out in love and prayer. Prayer.
Right.
It's very loving to pray for someone.
Oh, it's the most loving thing you can do.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, you look through this, what he says about divorce, adultery, taking an oath, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How to give, how to pray.
Right.
You know, that's pretty radical.
Right.
You know, don't give so anybody knows that you're giving.
Right.
Don't pray so anybody knows you're praying. Don't fast so anybody knows you're fasting.
Right.
Well, doggone it, that takes all the fun out of it.
It's not about getting attention for yourself.
Exactly.
It is all about being sincere and like being true and real. That's the word I'm looking for.
Genuine.
There we go. There's one of the G's. Carol, are you on the air, my friend?
I am here in beautiful sunshine waiting for the snow to start Monday night.
Uh-oh. You're getting snow again?
More?
Yeah. About 2 inches.
Well, we're not. We got sunshine today. Finally, the drizzle and the rain showed a bunch of homes yesterday in the rain, and it seemed like I was cold all day long. But today, the sun's out.
Today is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Carol, we're talking about Jesus' radical message of changing our lives and changing our mindset so that we become genuine and godly and giving and gracious. Talk to us. I mean, don't you think that Jesus was trying to really shake up the world with this chapters 5, 6, and 7 here?
Yes, I do. I think he was trying to make us aware of the fact that we need to be responsible for a few things.
Okay. All right.
That's... Some of that responsibility, you know, we don't sit in the judgment seat, although many people would like to think they do. We don't really sit in that judgment seat.
Right.
You know, people make a judgment about whether they'll hire you or fire you or promote you or something to that effect. Or whether they'll sit next to you in church or whether they'll push you to the rear or whatever it might be.
Right.
But the important things that Jesus is talking about, we don't sit in that judgment seat.
It's exactly. Exactly. And we have to learn to change our old habits. And by the way, Pastor Jim just got the internet up here going. So you can get in on our discussion today, or you can type a question or a comment. just send it to pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. It comes up here on my email. You know, the whole thing is, are we too old to change? You know, the old thing, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know?
But you know you can.
I know you can. You dog trainer, you.
I know. You can teach an old dog new tricks. You can't beat him into submission.
Okay.
To learn anything.
Right.
But it's just like people. You can't beat people into submission to submit to Christ.
Right.
You know, you have to love them through it. You have to live a life that they see.
Right.
And wonder why it was so different than theirs.
Which is what these three chapters are all about. It's kind of a guidebook on how to live
to show
Christ to the world.
Yes. Because they've got to see, and I've heard this said many times, we've said it on the air, sometimes the only Jesus people will see is through us right here on this earth. And they go, like, what is different about you? Or how are you coping with this situation or this tragedy? when it comes right down to it, what Jesus is saying to us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is, get your anchor built on the solid rock. And we're going to talk about that today. But we want to pose the question, where is your hope in life? What are your priorities? What takes up your time? What takes up your time?
Mm-hmm.
Carol, talk to us about this, because I think a lot of people get so sidetracked in life by feeling sorry for themselves. They get down in the dumps. They don't open drapes, maybe. They don't get outside. They don't go for a walk. They let their circumstances beat them down. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about depression and apathy.
Yeah, and I think that the world is full of that, Carol.
It is, because when people don't have Jesus, we who have him know that it's a hopeless world.
Right.
And they find themselves in a hopeless world. They don't know how they got there. They don't know what they're doing there. And they doggone sure don't know how to get out of it.
Absolutely.
So they do one of two things. They either hide and go further into that dark abyss, or they seek help.
Right.
And they seek help through mental people who give them the opportunity to tell their story and try to work together. And then some people have a friend, thank goodness. They have a friend or a family member that's involved deeply in relationship with Christ. And they start just asking them, why are you so happy? What makes you get up in the morning and go and do? And the person keeps saying things like, well, Jesus does. You know, he gives my will to get up and live and do. And when people see you, they try to emulate you after a while, because your world is so different than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some trick to it.
Oh, absolutely. And there is. It's not really a trick. It's a lifestyle, and it's a mindset, and it is running to the rock of our salvation and hanging out with God and spending time with him when we don't feel like it. I mean, because that's the test, don't you think? I mean, if it's always peachy keen and everything's always wonderful, then it's easy to go, oh, I thank you, Lord, I praise you, God. But when things aren't going well, PJ, comment on that.
Yeah, when things aren't going well, that's when we need to run to him the most.
All the more.
You know, I think of the Psalms, David. If you read the superscriptions above some of the Psalms.
Yes.
It's like Psalm 3 that you and I kind of shared earlier.
I was just thinking of Psalm 3.
That's when he was running away from his son. Who'd usurped the throne from him.
Right.
I think it's 52 is when he realized that Doeg the Edomite just killed all the priests that had given David the bread, David and his men the bread. You know, David wrote some of these psalms in moments of great anguish. And great times of danger to himself. There's one where he's fleeing from the king of Gath.
Aren't we glad he had a Samsung tablet to write that on real quick and get that out to everybody on the internet?
His Samsung clay tablet.
I mean, that even makes it harder, really. We are so used to our conveniences. But think about David writing with a chisel?
A stylus and a piece of wet clay.
I mean, really, Carol, aren't you glad we have our typewriter? I mean, our computers.
Well, yes and no. You know, I'm still not a computer whiz. I'm getting there, but I'm not. But, boy, I'll tell you, it really does, in a lot of ways, open up different translations of life for you.
Right.
you know, you're able in an instant to put up five different commentaries from five different Bibles.
Pastor Jim knows all about that with his 144 Bibles now.
You know, besides having to go to the library and hope it's open, or go to the bookstore and find in a quiet corner so you can make contrast between the different Bibles, now you just do it with a touch of a finger.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are benefits to this age we live in.
You know, but anyone that is new in Christ, they're a new creation. Everything.
Right.
And this is a hard concept, I think, for people. Maxine and I were talking about this morning in the realm of forgiveness and those kinds of things as we were discussing today's lessons and thinking what I need to say. And it's all about when you pass into a new creation, everything else is gone.
Amen.
You don't remember the old. You might remember it, but you don't dwell in it. You don't live in it.
You don't dwell in it and live in it. That's the key right there.
You know, I came up with a couple of three ideas that I thought were very poignant. And forgiveness is what we really have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for ourselves, that we've been creepy, crawly people, if you will, you know.
Creepy, crawly people?
Yeah, you know, people that just don't think life is worth the living, and they're down on everybody, and if somebody says Jesus, they want to throw the old rotten egg at you or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, they envy you because they see something in you they don't have in themselves.
Right.
And they want it. And I think that's what we're supposed to be to other people. We're supposed to be an example.
Right.
Of what Christ has done in our lives, how he's changed us from that foggy bottom life into something more beautiful.
Amen.
And, you know, we are. Even Christians have those deep, deep valleys.
Well, we even, you know, this morning in our service, Carol, the Lord was ministering to those past hurts in people's lives that have been like that foggy past, you know, that has just kept people bound up. And I really believe in this day and age, God is really, really trying to get through to us that we need to learn to allow the healing of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in those past memories, those past hurts, those things that have just really been devastating in our lives. We all have some.
Well, and Carol made a good point. You made a really good point. Just because we're a new creation doesn't mean the old memories aren't still there.
And that's right.
I've been born again now for 40 years, and sometimes old memories still try and creep back.
Right.
Sometimes more recent memories. But, I mean, I think we have to live that new creation reality every day. And, yeah, we've all messed up, and Satan is going to do his best to bring those memories back to us where we failed, where others have failed us.
Right.
But every day we have to remember what Jesus said in, you know, forgive. You know, we talked about prayer. Forgive and you will be forgiven. If you
exactly.
don't forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you.
Amen.
So we need to walk in forgiveness.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
So even though we might like to, because we're in the helping of people business, and showing people a better way to live emotionally, spiritually, ultimately financially and educationally, every way you can think of, and good physical health. Those things, we cannot be everything to all people. And so we have to find where God has placed us. And he has a place for every single person on this
earth. Amen. He sure does. And a plan.
And a plan. It's just like, you know, the American Indians believe that for every malady, there's a cure in a plant.
Right. Yeah.
And for every hurt, there's a cure. They use their medicine men, which were their religious leaders.
Right.
You know, and so for every person alive, there's a reason for you to be here. It wasn't because you were, a one-time date.
Right.
Or, you know, you arrived simply because your mother was violated in some way.
Right.
You know, we're here because I always say through divine appointment.
Absolutely we are. Yes.
You know, I have a job to get to. I have a job to keep. And my appointment is to do the best I can for myself and for the surrounding people around me to bring them to the point of a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. And it all boils down to what Jesus is saying here in these chapters is all about desiring to live the way God wants you to live in a godly way. After his example, Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father, the nature of the Father, and to give us these teachings that we find and to help us understand the importance of putting them into practice in our daily life. And I think so many people, PJ, I'm going to direct it to you and then ask Carol this question. Don't you think, and you feel free to add on to this, that so many people are stuck in ruts in the life and they know the Lord, but as far as really getting serious about their faith walk and putting it into practice and putting like these four G's we've been talking about, it's like, it's just not important. It's just not there for them or something, you know?
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I've had those periods in my life where I just kind of wanted to put my walk with Jesus on the back burner. Praise God they didn't last all that long.
But why do people do that? Let me ask you that.
Well, I think it's a matter of priorities. You might start to get busy. You know, Jesus talked about that kind of happening with the Word of God.
Right.
When he confronts the Pharisees because they complained that because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus said, you know what? Your traditions, first of all, you ignore them.
Right.
Then you willingly set them aside, and then you just make them of no power at all. You take all their power away.
Right.
And that's kind of what happens. We just kind of passively ignore God.
That's so true.
You know, we get busy with this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And then after a while, if that keeps up, you willfully ignore God. It stops from being passive to being active. And then pretty soon your walk's just in shambles.
Because it just, it's easy to slide down that, Carol, go ahead. What are you saying here?
I think oftentimes we become people pleasers instead of people who try.
Wait a minute. That's one of the things I want to talk about. People pleasing. Absolutely. Talk to me about that.
Well, you try to please your parents. You know, they're never quite happy with you. But you try to please your parents. You try to please your friends. You try to please the person you're dating, the person you're living with, the person you marry, whatever it is. And all the while, you're putting yourself at odds with Jesus.
Well, I mean, if the mentality is people-pleasing, then that is a deep hole. Because, you know, the devil will make sure that somebody's always at odds with you. And then if you're scurrying around all your life to pick up the pieces and make sure everybody likes you all the time, you know, it's going to be devastation. It's just not going to work.
It will not work. You cannot please human beings. About the time you please the one on your right, the one on your left is squawking because you went against what they wanted you to do because you're pleasing the person on the right. You know, you cannot walk in a circle and please every single person.
Not exactly right. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and that's why, I mean, it gets back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
Jesus said, you're right, you're not going to please everybody, so here's the better way to walk.
Right.
Here's the better way to live. And yeah, can you imagine? We live this way, and people are going to be, they're going to think we're nuts, first of all. People are likely to think there's something wrong with us.
Right.
I mean, why don't you get mad? Why don't you take vengeance on this person, because God told me not
right,
to.
That's right.
God
Amen.
Told me to forgive them.
Love your enemies.
You know, exactly. I mean, if we walk by the standard of the Sermon on the Mount,
right,
then some people will be happy with us. Some people are going to, just like they did Jesus, think he probably should be, you know, taken away somewhere. Other people are likely to get angry with us because this is such a radical departure from the way humans normally act.
Humans normally are tremendous people pleasers, I think. Don't you, Carol? I mean, that we want everybody around us to be happy. Don't you think that's human nature? Now, I know sometimes people are just cantankerous and cranky and want to stir trouble. But, I mean, for the most part.
Well, and it's not to say that people... I mean, we don't obviously we're not saying you know, don't take it out of context. We're not saying go out of your way to be nasty to someone.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, yeah, this is kind of the framework. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the framework of our relationship with God, our relationship with each other.
Right.
And in a sense, our relationship with ourselves.
Right. Exactly. Carol, talk to us about this.
You know, I try not to be a people pleaser because I've found in my life, especially when I was younger and trying to formulate the Christian virtues that I wanted to live with and by, I found early on that I could not please people.
Right.
And I didn't, and I know I couldn't please my parents.
Right.
You know, because one parent was happy, one wasn't. I mean, it's just it's an oxymoron every time you ask them a question.
Yeah.
But I found out that the best thing for me is to leave that up to other people. I don't set my standards by anybody else's standards. I set my standards personally by Scripture and what I have learned through my travels through life for 70 years. I know that I don't want to be a people pleaser. If somebody doesn't like me, I have this attitude. If they don't like me, they're letting, you know, they talk about me, they're letting somebody else rest.
Right.
You know, it just does not offend me if people don't care for me or like me. As long as I am content with my relationship with Christ and He keeps giving me affirmative reasons to like me, I'm in good stead.
And He does. He loves us so much. Listen to this song by Chris Tomlin, and then we'll talk more after this song. I love this. Awake My Soul. Great song, Awake My Soul. I come alive when you speak to me. Speak to me, God. I don't know about y'all, but I come alive when I feel like God is saying something to me. A fresh word from the Lord, you know? And I love the way that Chris Tomlin's got that in this song. He's gone back and quoted the prophecy in Ezekiel.
Right, out of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Yes. And go ahead, talk about that for a second, and then I'll get back to Carol here. But we got so many dry bones in a lot of our lives, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you know, Ezekiel was prophesying. The Lord showed him a valley just full of bones.
Right.
Dull, dead, dusty bones.
Right.
And, you know, at that time, you know, the primary application was to Israel, because this is when they were in the Babylonian captivity. They had no hope of ever becoming a nation again. And sometimes we're like that.
Right.
I mean, either individually and maybe our churches, we're feeling like that valley of dry bones, like we're just desolate. There's nothing there. And yet God told Ezekiel, prophesy.
Right.
Prophesy and speak to these bones.
Woo.
So he prophesied, and just like, you know, what we heard in the song, the bones came together.
Amen.
And then, you know, sinews and tendons and muscle and skin formed on those bones.
Oh, yeah.
And yet there was one thing missing. You know, they were now, okay, they were put back together. They were, you know, they had skin on them, but they were still, now it was just a valley full of dead bodies.
Right.
And God said one more time, prophesy to the winds, prophesy to the spirit.
Right.
And say, you know, come and touch these, you know, come and fill them. And that's what happened. And scripture says they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army.
And that's what God is doing in this day. He is calling us who have been dry and brittle. And some of us out there in radio land, maybe you can relate, where you just have felt like, gosh, I used to love to read the Word of God, or I used to love to praise God. What's wrong with me? I don't seem to have that going on the inside of me now. And this is a metaphor and actually a spiritual prophecy to Ezekiel saying, you know what? So many people are like that. They're just like bones scattered out all over a desolate field. And it's time to speak to those bones and say, come alive.
And on another level, remember the first thing they did was start putting bone to bone.
Right.
That talks about fellowship and
exactly.
Being in a Bible-believing body.
Amen.
Because you can't, I mean, it's talking about unity. And you can't be unified if you've got, you know, I'm thinking of Wizard of Oz where the flying monkeys tear up the scarecrow.
You know,
they took my arms and threw them
right.
over there. They took my legs and threw them over there.
Okay.
And that's kind of what Ezekiel's talking about here is, you know, our bones get scattered and God has to put us back
together.
And the
devil's all the time trying to scatter people away from each other, etc.
And also I think that's on our individual level. Sometimes we feel out of joint, literally,
right.
Like this valley of dry bones. And God has to put us back together.
Ooh,
and clothe
glory.
Us
yes.
and anoint us
yes.
so we can stand on our feet and be an exceedingly great army.
Amen. Carol, talk about this. Dry bones here, Carol.
Well, there are an awful lot of dry bones laying around us. And I had a dry bones moment years ago, when I was in my early 20s. And I was, I had a partner that just refused to, I didn't realize it at first, but refused to even acknowledge that Jesus Christ had ever been in the world, that his words were true and rang strong in my life, did not ring strong in the other person's life. And I began to realize it was never going to change. Nothing I could say or do would make a change.
Right.
And I began to realize that God had his hands on me, but I was being held down by being tied in a knot to somebody that just was not hearing and wouldn't allow me the option to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it dawned on me that if I'm dying here. I spent 23 years dying.
Mm-hmm.
And after that period of time, I broke away and I said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I must do what my father's called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that I've got to go.
Yeah.
And I walked away.
Right.
And I never regretted walking away, because in walking away, my early childhood commitment to Christ became more and more paramount, and I became the person, a better person than what I had been, because I was allowed to freely say the name, allowed to participate in activities that brought me closer kinship to God's people.
Amen. Amen. In other words, you are developing your full potential in God, right?
Yes, I was. And I knew in my heart, from my very, very young heart, that it was there. He's had his hands on me since I can remember.
Right.
I started my remembering at 3 years old.
Right.
And then to be united with somebody that did not feel the same way and did not understand people who felt that way. And not only that, but in my personal family, the spirituality did not exist. It was there for convenience.
Right.
It was not there to say, I feel I've been guided to do this, or let me do this. Let me bring my children up in a way that they would know Christ in a personal
right.
relationship. It was kind of seek and find on your own.
And don't you think, Carol, that a lot of our listening audience probably has grown up in a situation similar or has been in a marriage or relationship similar where the relationship with a family member or with a partner or spouse did not propel them toward God. Instead, it drug them down away from God because human nature will do that every time. If allowed, it'll pull us away. Go ahead.
It's done for control.
It is control. It is control.
It is control. Why do you need God? Why do you need Jesus and the Holy Spirit when you have me?
Right, exactly.
Am I not enough? Here I am every day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you want to say, well, excuse me, could I turn to page or chapter 4 and page 3 in your life journal?
Right.
What does it say?
But you see, so many people are so focused, and that's what this show is about today. Where is your hope built? Is your hope built on a relationship? Is it built on a career? Is it built on pleasing people and telling them the exact thing they want to hear all the time? Is it built on shopping? Is it built on acquiring the biggest bank account that anybody's ever seen? Where is your priority? Where is your focus? Where is your hope built? Pastor Jim, comment on this. Carol, that was right on stuff.
Well, yeah, it's... Well, and we talked about it this morning in the service, and at the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives two great comparisons.
Yes.
You can build your house one of two ways. You can build it on the rock.
Right.
You can build it in the sand.
Exactly.
Which one do you think is going to stand up when the floods come? When,
right.
You know, when the hurricanes move through Florida, which one's going to stand up?
We're going to talk about that whole section here after the break, because I want to go into it in detail here, because that was a great lead in to where we're going. Because what God is saying here is, guys, it's time to look at our lives. Okay, how old are you out there? You say, well, I'm young. I got a whole life ahead of me. Do you really? Do you know that you do? You know, I mean, seriously, we can look back on our life and say I've had X amount of years, but we don't know that we are granted tomorrow. We don't know that we will be here a month from now, a year from now. We don't know what might happen in our lives. And so what are we doing today? And I mentioned this. And I got thinking about it.
Francis Schaeffer.
How shall we then live, right? Isn't that the title of it?
How should we then live?
Right. Explain that before we go to break here in just a minute.
Well, yeah, and I actually went to the big old seminar back in, what, 1975?
I did, too. I have the book.
Yep, yeah, me too.
Maybe I saw you there. Maybe didn't know you.
Because we drove from Muncie to Indianapolis to go see it.
We were probably in the same place and didn't even know each other.
Okay.
Look, well, isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that here we are all these years later going to the same university, college, Ball State, Muncie, Indiana, and not knowing each other. And then here we are. God's planted us together. Look what God does.
Amen.
That's exciting. Go
Amen.
Ahead.
Well, the whole book and the series was about kind of outlining culture and how culture and individuals got off track.
Right.
And the whole question is, how should we as Christians live?
Right.
in a world that is at best post-Christian, if not anti-Christian.
Right.
And, you know, I know there's some, you know, who say, well, you know, we have to get all the Christians involved in politics. And that's fine if that's where God's leading you. But, the whole point is we have to make our stand like here.
Right.
And that's how we live.
Right.
That's how we shine as lights in this dark world.
Matthew 5, exactly. Salt and light.
Yes, we're to be salt, we're to be light. We're to be the city on the hill.
Because yes.
Think of it, if you're a city on a hill, a well-lit city.
Right.
People are going to be drawn to you
right.
in out of the darkness. And that's what Jesus is saying we need to do.
Amen.
We need to be that. We need to give the world flavor. We need to act as a preservative
yes.
for the world. Without the church, I dare say the world
right.
would be a far worse place.
Oh my, we're going to talk about this more in our next hour. Carol, what? Tell us about the prayer ministries, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Who can use that email and why would they want to?
Any person who has a need that they need answered and feel like they don't have the power to ask themselves for whatever their prayer needs, if you will just write the request for the prayer to prayers at Beacon of Hope Global.
Yeah, BOHM Global.
BOHM Global.
.com.
It will come to me
right.
and to Pastor Jim,
right.
and whoever picks it up first will be able to write the prayer. And I always include, as Pastor does often, I include Bible scripture. Because I feel if that way, and we do write the prayer, and if somebody can't remember that prayer that we've written or whatever, they can at least go to scripture and help themselves read about the needs of another person.
Amen.
It's extremely important. And I'll tell you, our prayer ministry is growing by leaps and bounds.
It is. It's wonderful.
I mean, some days there will just be 11, 12 prayers, and you're thinking, how
right.
on earth did the world fall apart so bad today?
I know.
Really, I guess it really and truly does. And it just seems like when you see a tragedy take place in the world, somehow it affects the whole world and everybody in it. And we get a lot of prayers for things in that situation. But it's a wonderful ministry. It's something I really enjoy doing, and I know Pastor Jim does as well.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we try to answer them as quickly as we can when they come in and get a request answered and get the information back out to the people. And we love, 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 love to have the praise reports.
Amen.
I was just going to say
reports.
That. Yes.
Let's get them coming in this year. Let us know.
And that way we can send the praise report out and people will know that their prayers were not
Woo!
In vain.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So there was a Holy Spirit. There was a Jesus and a God tuning into everything we said. And
yep.
changes, my stars, I would tell everybody the changes that we have seen at Beacon. And the number of people who have requested prayer for dire circumstances. And those circumstances change. They ultimately,
Amen.
Sometimes they change right on the surgeon's table.
That's exactly right. We have seen some major miracles. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Carol or Pastor Jim will pick up the request, send it out as a prayer request to our prayer team. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, simply write a note to that same address, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and you can join the prayer team. No requirements except a desire to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God. You are listening to Living the Good Life. Here we go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Wow. And we're in our second hour already on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marsha, along with my associate pastor here, Pastor Jim. Carol is with us in Georgia. Carol, your partner Maxine is our webmaster, and we are so excited about the new business cards, the new internet presence we have. And now, today, go to facebook.com/BOHM Global, and you will see our new webpage that we just began again for the ministry.
Very sharp.
Very sharp. And is Maxine right there, Carol?
She's probably listening.
Okay.
I'm in the living room and she's in the office, but I think she's probably listening.
Well, she has told me to remember to say this, and I'm going to say it now. And if she wants to add to it, she can come on your phone and add to it. But basically, we want you to go to our Facebook page and like it. And also notice things that are going on there. There's pictures of a recent baptism out at the causeway. There's just stuff going on. And we're going to be adding a lot more to that. And so we want you to find it. And it's facebook.com/BOHM Global. And I think that's right. Correct, Maxine? Or is it BOHM Global? That's it? Is that the address? Or is there more to it than that? Do you have to put .com on there? That was my question. We'll find out and let you know here in a minute. So
I think, well, you can go to Facebook and search for BOHM Global.
All right, just do that and you'll find it. Okay, let's start this next hour with a wonderful song. It's an old song. It's one that I probably had sung at my church in Indiana so many times, Cor, back in the 80s. By Janet Paschal, I Am Not Ashamed, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it comes from Paul saying that in Romans chapter 1:16, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's what this whole thing is about today. It's the power of God for salvation.
Amen.
Pastor Jim.
Amen.
You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I'm not ashamed to be on. I'm excited to be on the air talking about how powerful and wonderful salvation is. It changes our lives. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give.
Molly wants me to be. BJ, that's it right there, don't you think? I pulled that song off of a show we did a few months back, and I wanted to play it today because of those words right there. I'm ready to be. My life, my goal is on eternity. I'm not going to let the devil and people and circumstances keep my eyes off of the prize. Talk to me, PJ, and then we'll go to Carol on this concept right here.
Well, yeah, and I love that song because it kind of actually hit on everything we talked about in the first hour. So,
it did, didn't it?
No, it did. And that's so true. I mean, our eyes, well, and we kept singing it this morning. We sang it before church. We sang it during the sermon. My hope is built on nothing less.
Yes.
And then, you know, the last verse is when Christ shall come with trumpet call.
Yes.
Oh, may I then in him be found. And that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
And we have to keep our eyes focused on that prize. And yeah, people around us are maybe not going to get it.
Right.
But that's okay. As long as we show forth the life of Christ to them, like we've been talking about it here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know, again, when we said it this morning, we may be the only Jesus they ever see.
Right.
And this is the best way I know to portray Jesus is to live like it has in the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
And, you know, we just set our eyes. What did Jesus or Isaiah say? I set my
face like flint. I just read that verse this week.
You know, and Jesus kind of quotes that
50.
When he says he's
yes.
when he set his face toward Jerusalem.
Yes, he did. Determined
that
to
was,
go.
That was his goal.
Right.
And nothing was going to, you know, the disciples were saying, don't go, don't go. If you go, they're going to kill you. But he knew the final outcome.
Right.
He knew, yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again.
Woo.
You know, they always heard that. The disciples seemed to always hear that dying part. Right. They didn't get the rising again part. Of course, I understand that. That's pretty radical.
Yeah.
But they didn't get that until after Jesus did rise from the dead. But it's the same thing with us. We have to set our faces like flint.
Amen.
Make that quality decision, that stake in the ground that
stake
you talked about
ground.
This morning, and be determined to walk with him. Let whatever happens happen. Because when we walk with him...
Right.
I feel another hymn coming on. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word.
Yes.
What a glory he spreads on our way.
Amen.
You know, trusting and obeying.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. And people are going to react how they're going to react. We
right.
can't change that except by prayer. But I mean, people are going to be angry. People are not going to understand. But you know
right.
what? I'm not ashamed. I'm just going to keep moving forward.
Hey, woo! All right, Carol, what's your comment on all that?
Well, I think sometimes we, as going back to the people policing, we try to please other people.
Yeah.
We try to pull them along when they're just dead bones.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, I used to tell my father this. I said, Daddy, it's not a buy one, get one deal with Christianity. You can't drag mother into heaven because you're a Christian. She can't drag you into heaven. It's not a two-for-one deal.
Right.
I said it's everybody's personal commitment.
Amen.
The decision to live. I mean, when you stop and think about living without Christ, there's your bar scene.
Right.
There's your drug family.
Right.
There is alcohol tearing up every family around them.
Oh, absolutely.
There's every reason
yes.
not to go to church. Oh, I
right.
get up on Sunday and, well, the sun came up in the east again. Doggone it, I can't go to church today. You know, when it comes up the way I want it to, I'm going to go. I'm telling you, I'm going to go now. and then you've got the people that are, you know, like us, the three of us sitting here going, I couldn't be happier to be anyplace
Amen.
Else.
Amen.
You know, that song, the wonderful songs that are sung, and I think every song you sing to God is a prayer.
Yeah.
It's an affirmation of a commitment to him.
Right.
You know, when they sing, I'm standing on holy ground, I feel the holy ground.
Oh, amen.
You know, I feel the rafters in the building shake because it's as if God is singing the song with us and
Woo.
Just belting it out, and you can just feel the vibrations of his love coming into you. why would I want to live in a world that is downtrodden, deadbeat? I'm dead bones. I'm walking around. I don't have any emotion. I don't have any compassion. I don't have any empathy. All I care about is my lazy self. And I don't care enough about that to get up and change it.
Exactly. And Carol, what you just described is where a lot of America is. I will say that. I mean, and I think a lot of times the prescription pills, the alcohol, like you said, or addictions of some kind, even shopping and things like that, can so sidetrack people that they're not even thinking about their need to be in the Bible and the Word and learn. They're just not coming from there, you know?
You know, if you want to live in and peace being P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C-E, because you can live in that one very easily. If you live in the P-I-E-C-E, a part of doled out to whatever you find important or worthy to give.
Right.
But if you live in P-E-A-C-E, it is a different attitude. You get up in the morning, the sun came up in the east, hallelujah, amen. You are able to step out and hear the birds sing, see the sun, or see the rain. And if you get provoked with rain, I always have to remind myself, after 40 days here in Georgia recently of pure rain, I had to remind myself, number one, I could build an ark if I needed to.
Right, exactly.
And number two is the earth is being watered.
Right.
The dust and the dirt is being taken down out of the trees, off the buildings, and so forth. And when it stops, it's going to be a glorious new morning.
Right.
And that's what it is with Jesus. If you live in the rain and the downtrodden grunge that comes from rain running in dirty streets and bringing down all kinds of coal and dust and filth, that's not a life worth living.
No, it's time for people, all of us, that are listening right now and wherever you might be, to realize that this is decision time. I believe in this point in history, there's a lot going on. I was thinking about our athletes today because the Olympics are on and I love watching them. So every moment I can, I watch them. But these kids have trained for a long time. There was a commercial the other day that said, you know, all the hours and hours and hours they train for a split second.
That's right.
You know, of accomplishment. And they do it because they believe in what they're doing, you know? It is time, people of God, that we get so excited and fired up about our relationship with Almighty God that we're going to train and discipline our physical bodies, our emotions, our minds, and we're going to take that time in the Word. PJ, talk to me about that, because I think this is a wonderful parallel with the athletes we have right now in the world.
Absolutely, and it's so important that we make that decision, and then the discipline part comes in is keeping that decision. But
amen.
But you're absolutely right. These are, well, you know where I stand. We're heading into perilous times.
Right.
And we don't have time to waste anymore.
No.
I mean, you know, I know, you know, I can hear the scoffers now. I'll quote 2 Peter, where is the promise of his coming? You know,
He is coming back. How shall we then live? Because
right.
He is coming back, and he's probably coming back very soon.
Exactly. And
probably
and
in our lifetime.
Whether it's, you know, whenever it is, we need to be ready. And and none of us can say, and don't get me wrong when I say this, but none of us can say we're ready to meet the Lord. Yes, spiritually, if Jesus was to come back, I know we'd go to heaven. I know we'd be raptured. We'd go to heaven. We'd get our new bodies. But
we all want more time.
And we want more time because there's so much more to be done. There is more to be done. There are so many more people to reach. So many people that need to hear the gospel and need to see it lived out in all its fullness through us.
We've got to build our lives on this. Let's go there, and then we'll go to you, Carol, on this. I want to go to Matthew 7, and looking at verse 21, knowing the correct password, this is in the Message Bible, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere. This is what Jesus was saying. I mean, you can know his name, but not understand the value and the power in his name. You can know that his name, Jesus. A lot of people use his name in vain all the time. They know his name.
Well, and some people try and use it like the seven sons of Sceva.
Right. In
the book of Acts.
Right.
You know, they were trying to cast out demons using Jesus' name. I cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches.
Right.
And the demons just laughed at them and beat them up, basically.
Because you have to believe in that name. It's more than just knowing the name.
Right. And you know, I read this, too, in preparation for
right.
today.
Right, yeah.
I'm sorry, I just...
No, you go right ahead.
But it's sobering, especially, I mean, you know, did we not... many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did
yes.
we not cast out demons in your name? Basically, all my Christian life, I've been charismatic. I've been around prophesying and casting out demons and
sure.
all that. And Jesus said, you know what? I never knew you.
And why did he say that? Why is that going to happen to some people?
Well, because they aren't doing the will of the Father.
Right.
And he says, away from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty sobering sometimes. I mean, yeah, I know on the one hand, yes, I know I'm saved. Can't shake me from that. But I've been through some pretty lawless times, and I think we probably all have. I mean, just our own personal lives.
Well, we weren't being obedient,
when
really.
We were not being obedient.
Right.
And that's kind of sobering. That's one of those sayings we kind of wish Jesus hadn't said.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because he right. says some pretty...
It's all about obedience, though.
Right.
It's all about obedience. Carol, talk to us on this.
Well, it is all about obedience and being true to what God asks us to do. You know, when you finally figure out what you're supposed to be doing, or at least have some semblance of an idea, and you're trying to walk down that path and that little yellow brick road, and you take the first two or three steps and you don't get your feet chopped off, you think, I might be on the right path here, and you keep walking it, and when all of that, and you reach the end of your road, you know, you hope you have touched enough lives along the way.
Yes, yes.
And said his name often enough and
yes.
offered him absolutely to everybody. You hope that you've done those things, because when you do cross over, you want to know that you did the best that he asked you to do.
Amen. Amen.
It's difficult. You know, you were speaking about the athletes, and I wrote this morning, and I'll share this with you. With accolades come responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when a person, whether they're an athlete or whether they receive a medal because they've saved somebody's life or whatever it might be, comes the responsibility. With pastors, there's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
With church members, there's a responsibility.
Amen.
With the finance director, there's a responsibility.
Right.
And it's not just the world's responsibility. You have entered into the house of God by design or because you choose to take a position in your home church. And at that point, you are responsible to the deity, and you are responsible to the people that you are that are seeing you in church every time.
Right, exactly.
And responsible to the function that you serve there.
Amen.
And if you fall down, if you're supposed to be the deacon in charge for that Sunday, and you call pastor and assistant pastor, well, you know, I went out last night and had whoopsie-doodle a good time. I don't think you know, I just don't think I can.
Whoopsie-doodle?
Can you get somebody to cover for me? And I'm inclined to say I can get somebody to cover for you, but I can't cover up what you've done as far as not wanting to be in the house of God.
Right, exactly. Yes.
You can take that up with him, and I don't know where his stand is going to be with you on that. But I'll feel your position in the church.
Yeah.
I always love it when people leave the church. You know, they think when they leave, they think they're going to get back at the staff.
Right.
Are they going to get back at that music director that did not recognize they're the best alto in there?
Right.
When the music director's standing out in the hallway banging their head against the wall and going, oh, please, Jesus, hear this prayer. Remove Pollyanna pigtails from the alto section. You know?
Yeah.
And when you start getting those accolades, you start having responsibility. You can choose to walk away from
responsibility.
It. I would not choose to walk away from Christ's responsibility that he's given me.
That's it, right there. Go ahead,
well,
PJ.
That's why James says that, you know, don't let too many of you be teachers, because
right.
you'll be judged that much more severely.
Right.
You know, you're absolutely right with more responsibility as God gives that to us. Well, and I just this morning read the parable of the talents.
Right.
You know, God gives us responsibility. He expects us to use it.
Yes.
Not to bury it in the ground and,
right.
and because we're fearful of God. He expects us to go out and use it.
Amen.
He expects us to be wise.
Amen.
And, you know, do the best with, like you said, Carol, do the best with everything He's given us.
Whoa, which brings us perfectly to this song entitled The Stand.
Completely.
time to stand, people. It's time to stand for something. It is time to stand for the principles of God's word and allow God to do a work in you. Let's go here to Matthew 7, where we were, and finish up the series today in verse 24 and 25. Jesus said, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. These are foundational words, words to build your life on." Everything we've been talking about these last few weeks, PJ, it's what you build your life right on. Learning to be generous, learning to be gracious to people, learning to be godly and genuine. These are foundational concepts. This is how we build our lives. We don't just I'm saved and that's all there is to it. No, Jesus said these are foundational words to build your life on. And then he says this: if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock, not a sinkhole. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy something. I just lost my page.
You turned an extra page.
Oh, yes, I did. There it is. Where'd it go? Yeah, I did. I turned an extra page. Okay. You're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Woo, we have got to build our house. Carol, talk to me about this. Building your house on the rock, Christ Jesus. Building your whole life on the concepts that Jesus taught in the Word and that are all through the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament.
What is the song, "On the Solid Rock I Stand"?
Yes, my hope is built on nothing less. We sang it this morning. Then Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Woo! On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand.
That's right. And you know, you can put your faith in people. You can put your faith in any person that you know, that they will follow through and do what you've asked them to do.
Exactly.
But it won't happen.
Right.
It will be inconvenient timing for them. They may say, oh, yeah, I'll go over and feed your dog at 4 o'clock. I'll be right there. 5 minutes to 4, the phone call comes that says, "Hey, we're going to play some golf. You want to go?" That feeding that dog all of a sudden doesn't become that important.
Exactly.
Because the dog isn't going to have an evaluation of you, whether you feed him or not, because he doesn't know you're supposed to be there.
Right.
But your friends are going to have an evaluation on you if you don't go. "Well, you don't want to be with us, I guess, huh?" Or whatever they come up with. And you can't rely on people to do what you know Christ will do.
That's kind of like the sinking sand, you know, the sandy beach, where you build your house on the sandy beach. Living in Florida, believe me, I spend a lot of time on the beach and have through the years. And I'll tell you, when the tide comes in, you can build a beautiful sandcastle. And my kids have done that when they were young. And they build these amazing creations on the beach. But come the tide in, it's going to take that right out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone. You can't find it anymore. You got a picture of it for the memory. PJ, comment on that, and we'll get back to Carol.
Well, I was thinking of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am?
Right.
Then he gave all sorts of answers. Then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke him and said, "I say you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You know, you're blessed, Simon, for saying this. I call you Peter, the rock, and on this rock I'll build my church."
Right.
Peter in Greek is little rock.
Right.
Detached stone. But the word there, "on this rock I'll build my church," is Petra. Bedrock.
Right.
And
it's not Peter he's talking about.
Right.
He's talking about Jesus.
Could be, you know, Peter's confession of faith.
Right.
It's our faith on which he builds the church.
yes.
His blood and righteousness. That's what he builds the church on. That's the bedrock. that's what we have to build our lives on, because otherwise we're striving to meet God's standards without being in the position to do it.
Right.
Through Jesus' sacrifice, through the blood, and because we have become his righteousness,
right,
we can meet these righteous standards.
Amen.
I mean, on our own, if we try and live chapters 5, 6, and 7 on our own power,
we can't do it.
It's going to be shifting sands. We're going to fall flat on our face.
Right.
We're going to get really mad at God.
Right.
But if we do it because we know, you know, because of the blood of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Then these things will just start to happen.
Yes.
You know, we read that one verse a few weeks back. Most translations say be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. But it just means be mature.
Grow up. Yes.
You know, grow up. Act like an adult.
Right.
Basically, in God. Don't be
right.
a baby.
Right.
And, you know, we think we have to reach perfection. No, not this side of heaven.
No.
But that's not an excuse not to grow, not to keep trying, not
Amen.
To keep striving toward
yes.
the goal.
Yes.
The high calling of God in Christ
Woo.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Talk to us about all that, Carol.
Well, oftentimes I think we as human beings fail to set our standards higher because they're not the standards based on Scripture in most circumstances. As you're learning to become a Christian, as you're developing into a Christian and make your associations Christian, you have to make a major decision. Leave the world behind and all of the things in it.
Well, explain that. Explain that,
live
Carol.
Live a life with Christ.
But explain that, because a lot of people don't understand what it means to leave the world behind.
Well, the world actually is not something you want to live in because it lives without Christ.
Right.
It means having all of the sins that you can imagine in the world poured out in one little spot, and you can get to look at them. It's like looking at a deck of cards, actually. When you lay out those 52 cards, and 51 of them, you're seeing all kinds of vile, disgusting things. You hear hateful things. You turn over a card, and it's a deceitful card. It talks about people. You turn over another card, and that one just belittles people to no end. It makes decisions about people, and you keep turning them over, and you're thinking, is this all there is? Is every card I turn over going to be a reminder of failure, a reminder of what the world really is, and I don't want to live in it? Oh, please let that last card be the one that shows me how to get out of this mess and live peace. My soul seeks peace.
Right.
And when you turn that last card, the 52 card, and there's the Ace of Spades representing Jesus Christ in this symbolic endeavor here, you're going, oh my goodness, that's the answer. I feel peace. I've turned the right card, and I'm going to throw the rest of them away. I've lived them. I've seen them. I've heard them. I've done them. I know people, yada, yada. And you put them aside, and you pick up that one card that has now turned into the word Jesus.
So it's really what you're saying there metaphorically is talking about the word of God. When we, and it's really what Jesus is talking here about, building our lives on the solid foundation, because Jesus said, it's my words. If you take my words and build your life on them, they're foundational words. It's like a big bunch of, and I've, believe me, I've had a lot of sinkhole listings in the last few years. And what happens when a house down here in Florida has a sinkhole is, after it's evaluated properly, they bring in tons and so much concrete, and they pour it under the house, and they underpin the house, and they gird it up. But basically what they do is they put a solid base under that house. And once it's remediated and fixed correctly, that house isn't going anywhere. It's not going to sink any further because it is solid foundation. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's the solid foundation. His word is that foundation.
You know, in James 4:4 says, so you are not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God.
Right.
Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy. Do you think the scripture means nothing that says the spirit that God made to live in us wants us for him alone. And then, you know, you skip up to back up to chapter 3 in James 17, but the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure.
Amen.
Then peaceful.
Yes.
Then gentle and
good.
Please.
Yes.
This wisdom is always ready to help those who are troubled.
Woo.
Do good for others. It is always fair and always honest.
That's right on.
Work for peace in a peaceful way. Plant a good crop of right living.
That's right on. That was James 3, 16, 17, something like that,
17,
right?
Yeah.
17 and 18?
17 and 18.
Pastor Jim, comment on that. That is right on, Carol. Thank you for bringing reference in
that's
there.
That's so true. I mean, I have the New International Version, and the verse James 4, 4 starts with, "You adulterous people." So God, I mean, that's pretty severe.
Right, it is.
God says if we're friends and, you know, if we're, you can't keep one foot in the world and, well, you can try to keep one foot in the world and one foot,
right.
You know, in your relationship with Christ. But eventually, you're going to have to go one way or the other.
Right.
Because it just, I've been there, I've tried to walk that, and it's like having one foot on the road and one foot up on the curb.
It's
very hard to walk that
especially
way.
Especially if part of that's down there, that other foot, something's dragging you down at the pull of people or circumstances.
Right. But it's just very, very hard. And, you know, that's what James is saying here. It's being friends, being intimate with the world. Because the world itself, that word means the whole world system, which we know since the fall has set itself against God. You can't be friends with the world and have a friendship with God. You know, and I think James, even though it's pretty strong, he's right in saying adulterous.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're married, we're in a relationship with God.
Right. Covenant relationship.
Yeah, and yet we're sneaking out.
Right, because we do that in the way we treat our relationship with God and don't take it that seriously.
Right.
Or don't try to grow up in the Word and grow up in God. And don't try to change our attitudes to become more generous, more giving, more godly, more genuine. Instead, we want to keep hang on to the old ways we've always behaved, you know?
But they're comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've talked about that before. As crazy as they are, as sinful and as wrong and as hurtful as they might be, they're still kind of comfortable.
Because we're used to it.
We're so used to it.
Carol, talk about this. I really think that's the essence of building our relationship on a solid rock. We've got to realize that that's got to be the most important thing in our lives.
Well, it certainly is for me. And I know that it should be for everybody else, you know. And you should never get yourself into cliques of people that cause you to go into a direction that feels uncomfortable.
You're right. Good point.
I have been in places trying to be social, even working in churches as a deacon, and, you know, you get invited to something and you're thinking, oh my goodness, should I go or not? And you go ahead and go thinking, I'll take, you know, maybe they're asking me because I'm Deacon Carol. I'll look at it in that vein. And I get there and there's no deacon in the world that could stand there and watch what's going on. My soul goes, get out of here, girl. Find the nearest door. Climb out the window. Go up through the chimney. Get yourself out of here.
Right. There are
My
times,
soul is
yes.
screaming at me,
yes.
Not of Jesus, not of Jesus.
Right. And
Carol, I can't stay there. I can't stay with those people.
And that's where we should be that in tune with the Holy Spirit within us, that when we get ourselves into a bad situation or we are in a conversation that's going to really end up very bad, that we learn how to get out of that and practice the wisdom of God and having the Word of God as our foundation instead of the sifting sand, shifting sand. Pastor Jim, talk about that.
Well, that's true. And I think, I mean, we've all been in situations like that.
Oh, yeah. Good example, Carol.
Where, what in the world am I doing here? Or how did the conversation get steered in this direction?
Right.
And it's hard. But again, that's kind of where we have to depend on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Which means, of course, being in touch with the Holy Spirit, which means praying in the Spirit.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, you know, it's much easier to go down to just follow the stream.
Right.
Than to swim upstream.
And, boy, and as we just keep coming back to that today,
yeah,
don't we?
As Christians, we're swimming upstream.
Right. We have got to take a stand on Christ, the solid rock. I stand. No other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. I want to get this song in by Terry McCallum. It's one of my favorite. It's the glory of his presence. And, you know, the bottom line of all this is your house is built on the solid rock as you learn to spend time in the presence of Almighty God. As you learn to value time in the Word, value time in fellowship with mm-hmm. God's people, value time in praise and worship. And as you do that, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, the glory of his presence. I got to spend more time with him. That's the answer here, radio mm-hmm. listeners.
And you're here, Lord Jesus. You're here.
Church. Woo!
I could, you know, when times are troubling around, You know, if they can get the Terry McCollum music,
yes,
and put it on, and start it off low because their spirit is low.
Yeah.
And as it begins, as the words begin to come, it, and you will be flying at the top of that room holding on to Jesus.
Woo!
And it is the most amazing thing.
Isn't it?
It is so peaceful, so calm, so quiet in spirit that it lifts you to the heavens.
And it is the glory of his presence, Carol, that allows us to plant our feet on the solid rock, mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. When we spend time in his word, when we spend time praying and praising God, all heaven comes down. PJ, comment on that. Thank you, Carol, for that comment. I so agree with that.
Well, and I love this. I love that song, and I haven't sung it for ages.
Long time. We're going to have to do it at church.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
It's such a great song, and I love it. You know, we your temple.
Yes.
Because that just reminds us.
It's who we are.
We're his temple. We give you reverence. And, you know, while we were singing it here, the scripture where Solomon dedicates the temple and the glory just fell.
Right.
And the priests couldn't even stand up.
No.
You know, the glory cloud was so strong, they couldn't even stand up. It was, you know, is that overpowering?
We've had some of those days.
We've had some of those days. And, you know, well, we almost had them while we were singing. I'm glad I was sitting down.
Yeah.
But that's so true. We
yes.
need the glory of God.
Yes.
I mean, his presence within us.
You
know, we think it has to be maybe some big old fiery cloud on the outside, but... You know, the glory of God was God's presence.
Amen.
It was just made visible.
Right.
And that same presence, that same glory dwells inside of
us.
Right now.
The
same glory cloud that led the Israelites,
yes.
that filled the temple,
yes.
that filled the tabernacle,
yes.
lives inside of us.
Ooh. Woo! Amen. Carol, talk about this.
Oh, I want to go to Jim's analogy of swimming upstream.
Okay.
You know, when we... Salmon swim upstream. And
okay.
The reason they swim upstream is they're going home.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They fight the odds. They fight the fast running water. They fight the rocks. They fight the grizzly bears and the polar bears that are wherever they might be. They're grabbing them up for dinner.
Right.
They fight the fishermen who were trying to catch them and put them on the rack for eating. But they return each one to their own river, and they go in there and they spawn and make other ones. But don't we do the same thing in Christianity? Shouldn't we be the salmon that swim upstream to our own stream, whether it's our home, our church, our community, and go in there and spawn the love of Christ,
Amen.
The words of Scripture,
yes,
and put all of that out in our corner of the world, and then what happens to them? They often die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to die, you know, and if we seek God,
yeah.
we will return to him in humble humility and a purity of holy love.
Woo! Right on, Carol.
And our souls crave that. You know,
we crave it. We do.
How can we love the world when it's empty and it's black and it's dark and it's dank and it kills people, it hurts people, it wounds people,
right.
it ostracizes people?
Right.
Why can't we step over that line to the pureness of Jesus Christ and know that we don't belong in that black world
right.
anymore, that dark, dank world? We actually, and when we cross that barrier that says, put our hand up or hit our knees on the carpet and say, Jesus, 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 I need you. I can't do it by myself anymore. I need you, and I don't need the world coming to me. And when we do that and we rise, our soul feels like it has just been whitewashed, cleaned, and made new.
Oh, amen and amen.
And who wouldn't want that?
Amen.
Why wouldn't we run from the darkness of the world into the light? Why wouldn't we find a person that exhibits that and grab onto them and say, I don't know how you got it or what you got, but I want it.
Amen. So if you're not sure this day that you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, perhaps you know about him, perhaps you've heard of him, perhaps you grew up in church, but you've run away from him. This moment in time is your moment for your life to change radically and for you to build your life now on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. It is going to mean some discipline on your part. Like we talked about with the Olympic athletes, it's going to take some training. It's going to take, you got to get some Bible study in you. You got to get to a good word teaching church. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come and join us today. Some of us were at a restaurant after church today, and this lady that was waiting on us, she said, you all look like family, like you're a family. And we didn't really think we kind of looked like a family, but she went on to say what she meant by that. And we said, well, we are a family. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. And she goes, oh, I've been wanting to come there to church. And she goes, I just work on Sundays, but what, do you have anything during the week? Yeah, we got Wednesday night Bible study. Okay. And so we got her phone number, her email, and all the stuff. And guys, there are people out there like this lady today who are hungry for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And you can be that voice in the midst of somebody's trial or what they're going through. Pray with us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you move on the hearts of our listening audience. Lord, if there are some that have been lukewarm, there are some that are just not sure. Maybe all they know is that Jesus has saved their soul, but they don't really know anything else about growing in him. Lord, let today be a stake in the ground day for them where they choose to become all that you want us to be. Lord, where they choose to build their life on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, let today be a moment of decision. Amen. And turnaround for these listeners. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Give us some final words, Carol. I cannot believe this 2 hours is just almost over.
I know, it's just, it goes by so swiftly. I'm going to say this again. This is my final word. If we, as people of the in the world, of the world, trying to get out of it and get into a place of grace, a place where we can learn, socialize with people who think that life is good, regardless of the valleys that we walk through, because we know at the top there's the mountain. And we go through that valley to gain the strength and the knowledge to live in Jesus Christ at the top of that mountain. If we seek God, we will return to him in humble humility and the purity of holy love. And that's my thought for the day.
Ooh, good stuff. Love you, Carol. You're a great, great, great contributor on this team. Radio team, PJ.
Well, it just summing up all that we've talked about over the past month and a half, 2 months, God has a plan. He has standards of conduct. But he gave Jesus so that we could meet those standards, not on our own, but in Jesus.
Right.
You know, none of us is good enough.
No.
It's only through Jesus. And he also strengthens us so that we don't have to be intimidated.
Right.
I mean, Paul calls it a high calling. But he says that, you know what, I haven't attained it yet, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep pressing on.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, we look at this, we think, like, the Sermon on the Mount is unattainable. But you know what? It's not. We just need to keep pressing on in the power of God, and we'll see those changes, and people will be drawn to us.
Amen. Excellent. And what a wonderful time. If you've missed any of our shows in this series, which began the first part of January, 4 G's for Kingdom Living, then go to our shows. They are on our website. Our website address is easy, bohmglobal.com. Go there. And we have about 290 shows there for you to listen to and learn the Word of God. It's all there. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, or if you're listening and plan a visit soon, come to one of our services Sunday morning, 10:30. And Wednesday night Bible study is at 7. You can get all the details on our website, bohmglobal.com. This show is every Sunday at 3 o'clock live. If you have a prayer request, go to prayers@bohmglobal.com, type an email, and we will reach out and help you. Go to our new Facebook page And that is facebook.com/BOHM Global. Is that right?
Let me see. I've got it right here. www.facebook.com/BOHM Global.
All right. Go there, check it out,
praise
like
God.
It. And we hope that you will join us next Sunday at this same 3 o'clock time, Tampa time. And we just, God bless you. If you have a prayer need or want to reach out to Pastor Jim or I or Carol, Carol can be reached at prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. Jim can be reached at PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. And you can reach me, Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and our dear, sweet Deacon Carol over there in Georgia, bringing you the Word of God this day. God bless you. Have a great week. And it's not far to Jesus.
Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen